Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus. This is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this new weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, other than this past Monday, we had a Jumpstart Rewind, but really this is the very beginning of season two of the Heaven Bound podcast.
That's it. It sounds like a TV series, but here we are. We had 150 this past year, and onward we go. New ideas, new places we want to go with this, and we're so thankful for a growing audience that listens to this and encourages us, and we want to just keep praising the Lord and doing what we can by teaching the Word of God through this.
We had a number of people that missed us the last couple of weeks. We took a little bit of time off, and it was good to hear that we were missed. We appreciate the opportunity to help you kick off 2021, hopefully in a way that helps you to be, as the namesake of the podcast says, heaven-bound.
Well, this past Sunday, Jason had the honor of preaching, and he kind of kicked off our theme. We do a theme every year at this congregation, and we build everything around that theme. That theme is kind of the spine of the congregation for the year, and we give a lot of thought to what we want to phrase it. And from that, we build our Bible classes, our VBS, our special meetings we have. Everything is structured around that theme. And this past year in 2020, our theme was Now I See, based on vision. So this year, having looked at where we were, where we need to be, and some things in the scripture, we chose the theme of Rise and Build. And that was the very title of Jason's lesson on Sunday. And let's just talk about that. First of all, how did we come up with that?
Yeah, it comes right out of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18 has that phrase, let us rise up and build. And we are just gradually unfolding the story of Nehemiah. The first layer of that is your Bible class that we are releasing each weekend. We had an introduction this past weekend. If you weren't able to watch that, it's at charlestownroad.org. We'll get into chapter one, Lord willing, this coming Friday at noon. It will be available. And so we want you to know the story, first of all, of Nehemiah, and Roger is doing already a good job in walking us through that. But it's more than just an ancient story, right? It is an incredible example of things were good, and then they were not so good, and people had gotten to the point where they really just settled with life not so good, and it took someone with the heart, the initiative, the leadership skills, the courage, and maybe the holy stubbornness, if you will, of someone like Nehemiah to come and rally the people, lead them. And he didn't just bark orders at them, but he got his hands dirty, right? He was a shepherd leader and builder in a variety of different ways. And those practical lessons that we can learn from his example, it doesn't matter where you are in the world or when you are in human history, it is an inspiring story.
It's one, to me, it's one of the greatest stories in the Bible. And it's really, I think, built in the DNA of human nature. There could be a mighty tornado or hurricane go through a community, and, you know, days later, a person stands in the rubble, what used to be their home, and out comes reporters talking to them, and they said, we're going to build again. We're going to rise up and we're going to build. And that theme is all through the Bible. We read about that. You think about Noah, the first day that ark finally came to a rest, the door opened up, brand new world. Rise and build. I mean, over and over and over, we see that running theme through the Bible. And that's why we chose that, because having gone through 2020, a lot of difficulties, a lot of cancellations, a lot of things just weren't real good. And a lot of people want to just sit down. They just want to call it quits. But I think the theme we find is that as a church, as a family, as people, we need to rise up and build. And that's why we're focusing so much of what we're doing this year. Our classes, everything we're doing is built upon that concept. Now, in that lesson, it's a great lesson. I encourage you to go to our website and to watch that if you haven't already. You talked about perspective, how important perspective is in building. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I at first wanted to build a bridge between 2020 and 2021. A part of spiritual development is adding new layers to what you've already learned, right? And I think later this episode we'll reference a passage from 2 Peter 1 that talks about supplementing faith with various things. It's not that you turn the page on faith and neglect that in order to add something else. A part of spiritual maturity is layer by layer, building one upon another. You mentioned in 2020, we talked a lot about vision, a lot about perspective. And if we're going to build in a way that pleases God, we need to continue to see life the way that God would have us to see. And so at the beginning of the lesson, I just drew out a few builder examples. Like you said, they're all over the Bible, but not all of them had the right sort of perspective. We went back and listened in on the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, where those people are looking to make a name for themselves. Or you can listen to the pride, the ugly arrogance of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. Isn't this everything that I have built for my majesty and glory? Or the Edomites in Obadiah 1 who say, there's nobody who's going to be able to come in and pull us out of the fortresses we've built. Or that rich builder of barns and then bigger barns in Luke chapter 12 that God calls a fool. Even the church of the Laodiceans that Jesus addresses in Revelation 3, who felt like they were doing great, right? We are rich, we've prospered, we need nothing, not realizing that in the eyes of Jesus they were wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. And even in that rebuke of Revelation 3, Jesus counsels them to buy eye salve, figuratively anoint your eyes so that you might see. We're not going to build, whether it's our individual lives, our homes, our marriages, our influences, our church family, we're not going to build what God wants us to build until we are seeing as he would have us to see.
And another example that came to my mind as you was going through that list is as Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about the wise man and the foolish man. Yeah. One built upon the rock, one built upon the sand. And you might think, well, why would you build on the sand? What's closer to the beach? It's a better view. And maybe it's the belief that nothing bad will ever happen, but it happened to him and his house collapsed. So it's not enough that we just build. This is going to be a better year than last year because we're building. We have to build in the right places at the right way the Lord wants us to. And through all of this, one of the running themes that I saw of your lesson is this idea of a partnership with God. I think that's a lesson a lot of people forget about. They sometimes put all the eggs in God's basket. God's going to do this for me, and God's going to do this for me, and I just sit back and do nothing, or else they think it's all up to me, and they leave God out. But there's a lot of verses in our Bible that talk about this partnership. God has a part, I have a part. Together, like a team, things are accomplished. So one of the first verses comes to my mind is in Hebrews 13, and there in verse 21, as it talks about the Lord equipped you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God is working in us. God's not working for us. He's working through us. Or in us.
Yeah, I would encourage our students who are going through our Nehemiah study, watch for that sort of language all over Nehemiah. You will hear him boldly asserting the fact God was at work in me, in this situation, in the lives of these people, even in the lives of those enemies and naysayers who were trying to discourage Nehemiah and the people. It's a powerful principle in Old and New Testaments. God is willing and able to do his part in order to accomplish his purposes. But Roger, to your point, we've got to be willing to rise up and build.
And I think that's a thought that a lot of people don't have. I think a lot of people get the idea that we're playing a game of life down here. God's in one stand with a little banner cheering us on. The devil's on the visitor side. He's got a banner booing us. They're watching the game, and we're out there just doing it. But that's really not true to scriptures. God's not in the stands just watching. He's engaged, and he's partnering with us if we will allow that to happen to us. And that helps us to realize we're not alone in this work. Another great passage is Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So there again is that divine partnership. God's there, but he's not going to do it on his own. If we decide to sit down and do nothing, nothing's going to get done. But when we rise up and follow the will of God, great things can happen.
Yeah, I love that Philippians 2 passage because it talks not only about what we are doing, but it talks about our wills, right? And there is very little more intensely personal about you than your will. We know how ugly it is in the life of a little child who has what we might describe as a defiant will, right? Mom or dad tells them to do something, and maybe that little boy or that little girl goes so far as to look mom or dad in the eye and say, no. And if you're a parent in that moment, the worst thing you can do is ignore or coddle or laugh at or entertain that sort of defiant will. But that is not limited to little kids by any stretch of the imagination. God wants to work on our wills our entire lives. And Roger, I'm sure you would say right along with me, one of the most tragic things you can see or hear in the life of a full-grown man or woman is for them to look at the same scripture you're looking at and say, well, I see it, but I will not. And God is not going to force us to do anything, but we will not be heaven-bound with that sort of a will.
We're not going kicking and screaming to heaven. He's not dragging us by the arm. And I'll be there, but, you know, it's against my will. No, that's not going to happen. We're going to be walking, following the steps of Jesus if we make it. And that's the key there. Another great passage about this partnership, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And he would say up above, he says, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the increase. Now, you don't put any seed in that ground, nothing's going to come up. But if you put seed in the ground and it's not according to God's will, God doesn't want it to grow, it's not going to grow. There's that partnership. It's God who sends the sunshine. It is God who sends the rain. But we have to put that seed into the ground. And so, again, we're talking about this divine partnership, working with God and hand in hand. As you said, that's found throughout not only Nehemiah, but that's found through many, many different stories in our Bible. The story of Noah, the story of Moses, the story of Paul all illustrate this idea that God is working with us to accomplish his will.
Yeah, and I think it would be good maybe our last few minutes in this episode to think through, so how does God work with us, partner with us today? We've already hinted at several of them. I think we could absolutely customize this principle to our homes, right? We sing periodically, God, give us Christian homes. And that's a wonderful thing to pray. Dads and moms, husbands and wives, children, grandparents, grandchildren need to be praying those sorts of things. But God is not going to force himself onto the throne of our homes, right? That takes a father who is willing to be the spiritual leader, the shepherd in his own home. That's going to take a mother, a wife who listens to what God is calling her to be as a mother. Parents together listening to that wisdom, for instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that you draw the attention of your family to God and to his will. When you rise up and when you lay down, when you're walking, when you're sitting, when you're eating, whatever it is, that is implying it's going to take intentional, deliberate effort. I've heard you, Roger, say a number of times that you can't live like a sinner and die like a saint. Well, I can't have a home that looks like the rest of the world and have it be somehow unintentionally, accidentally, a Christian home.
I can't. Every night I could pray that prayer, God give us Christian homes. But if I'm buried in work, I come home and I stay in front of the TV until I fall asleep every night, neglecting my family, it's not going to happen. The tools are there. It could happen, but I have laid down on the job. And so there's that partnership. God will help us. God will be there with us, but we have to step up and do our part. What would be another area in which God partners with us today?
I think as far as sharing the good news, that is something, of course, that as a church family, we work together to be a positive influence in our community and perhaps broadcast the good news as far and wide as we possibly can. But at the fundamental level, this is a person-to-person individual influence that I've got to be willing and intentionally working to leverage. I think of Jesus' encouragement in Matthew chapter 9 when he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest." Okay, so there's God's part. He is, even today, the Lord of the harvest. He's teaching us to pray, and to pray what specifically? To send out laborers into his harvest. I mean, there is the dynamic exactly. God is the Lord of this harvest. God, as we heard in 1 Corinthians 3, is able to cause the growth. We ought to be praying for laborers and praying that God would bless our efforts as laborers individually.
And really what that means is it's not our job to convert. That's between God and the individual. Our job is to get the seed in the heart. Yeah. Our job is to show the good example and to be that. And sometimes we might beat ourselves up because we think, well, you know, no one's being converted. I'm doing what I can. That's between God and that person. But our job is to get the seed out. Our job is to be the example. Our job is to be the voice of God today. And when we do that in a good and honest heart, when the Word of God intersects a good and honest heart, great things are going to happen, and that's true to the scriptures. Well, what would be another area?
Yeah, as I was preparing to preach that sermon on Sunday, one of the last passages that really came to my mind was from 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter, by inspiration of the Spirit, again, speaks to Christians, and he says in verse 4 of 1 Peter 2, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. God is the one who is doing the building, and that is in the present active ongoing tense, right? But I have an individual part to play. I am a member of the church of Jesus Christ. I am a member of this local church family, and every single member of that body, every stone in that building matters. I've got a part to play.
Peter ends the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 by saying, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If I do not take avail all the opportunities the congregation puts out, I don't participate in classes, I'm not reading my Bible, I'm just not doing any of these things, then the Lord can't build me up. I'm not going to grow. So again, there's that divine partnership. If I do my part, God will always do his part. God's already there. He's ready to do it. We just have to step up and to do those things. And that helps us to realize this. And so that should help us realize that the work we do, the work in the kingdom, it's not just us. It's not by ourselves. But we have the help of God with that. We partner with God. We got to make sure we do it God's way and by God's will. And when we do that, impressive things can really happen.
Yeah, I think it's a powerful note to begin this new year on. We don't know what 2021 is going to hold. We know who reigns. He is already at the end of the year, just as surely as he is at the beginning of the year and the beginning of three centuries ago, right? He is I am. And so we need to trust him. We need to follow his lead. And we need to do in his service what we can do today. We live one day at a time. Let's make sure that we are the active, encouraging, enthusiastic builders that he is calling us to be. Roger, you've got a couple of opportunities to help us grow and be encouraged along those lines. First of all, this evening, Wednesday, you are kicking off a brand new Wednesday evening series for us.
We are. And again, as we said at the very beginning, we're tying everything we're doing this year into Rise and Build. There's so much in Nehemiah that one quarter classes is not going to be able to touch everything. So we're spinning off some ideas. And so this Wednesday tonight at 7 o'clock, we're going to talk about Rise and Build, lessons from the life of Joseph. And one of the things we come across quite often is I just can't do what God wants me to do because of my past, because of this. So we're going to talk about some of the rubble. Just like the book of Nehemiah, there was rubble around the city of Jerusalem that had to be taken care of. We're going to talk about some of that rubble to begin with, and then how we can build in our lives individually. But looking at the life of Joseph, a powerful, powerful lesson about someone who had everything against him, but he did not let that overcome him. He rose and built to become a powerful model for all of us.
That's this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. at charlestownroad.org, on our Facebook page, on our YouTube channel. We would love to have you participate in that with us. What about this coming Sunday morning?
Sunday morning, still working on Rising and Building. It's going to take us a while to get through all these Rising and Building, but we're going to do it again. This time we go to Jeremiah chapter 38. That's the chapter where Jeremiah was lowered down into a cistern or a pit, and there's a great lesson about bringing ropes and rags, and that's what we're going to talk about, bringing the ropes and rags to help each other out of the pits of life.
Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. Many resources available to help you start building in a way that pleases God this new year. CharlestownRoad.org. It's all right there. We're looking forward to tonight. We're looking forward already to Sunday, the best day of the week. And we would love to have you come and grow with us.